At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
What's happening, y'all? This is Todd Wilson with another episode of Elevate Your Game. Today, we have father, we have director, head coach of SCA National Team, SoCal Academy. We have director of Cali Stars program, club program, and the co-director of the EHA, Independent Event Service and League, NBA trainer, player developer, everything basketball, man. The Juvie Sandbox man himself, Julius Van Helsick. I got the name right. I'm proud of myself. My brother, welcome to the show. We love to start this show off with the wall of hoop movies. Your favorite hoop movie of all time and why?
I say Space Jam. And the reason why, I think that was like, it just gave me memories. Actually, you know what? He Got Game is the best one.
Nah.
I like He Got Game the most.
What about it? What is it? Is it the truth?
Just, it wasn't like, it was a real basketball movie. It wasn't like silliness involved. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It
like
is
the other ones,
it's
nothing wrong with comedy or whatever, but it was like real. It was real life and basketball. So I like that one the most.
Now, 100%. I always talk about how Ray Allen's acting was terrible, but as a hooper, it was dope because he was a real hooper out on the court. And just the camaraderie of their team, going to a hoop in the park together and all that kind of stuff.
And just having that. Denzel and Ray Allen in a movie together. Like,
pretty
huh?
wild. Right, right. Denzel did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Great job. No, one of the best. So we love to just hop into your journey, man. And when did you fall in love with basketball?
Man, to be honest with you, I didn't really start really liking basketball until I was like maybe 13, 12 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in my area played basketball, and my younger brother played basketball, but I never really was into basketball. My dad watched basketball. Never really was in it until like 12, 13 years old.
Dang, yeah. I didn't start playing when I was 11. Most people who sit here started, oh, when I was two, when I was born, like what? Like, that's wild. What was it that got you, into basketball at that time?
Man, it was basketball courts in the area, and then just kind of just, that's where people would go hang out and play, and I was tall for my age, so eventually I just kind of just start playing. And then I was asleep at one of my boys' house, and then he was on the AAU team. He brought me. I'm watching the practice. I'm tall. They ask him why I don't play. But I didn't really, you know, I would play here and there just, like I said, just in my neighborhood. But I end up, you know, I think we went to Vegas. That was like the first tournament. I never played AAU or nothing. It was ARC Nationals in Vegas. And we played against the RC Bulls. They had like Drew Holiday, Jeremy Anderson. I forgot who else
they
was
were
on
loaded,
that squad.
Yes.
Yeah, so we played them. But it's funny, because I was just talking to, the second game was versus like Colorado Hawks. And I was just talking to the director, Colorado Hawks today, about that middle school team that they had, and they were really good. But that was my first time really playing organized, so it was like shocking for me.
Right, playing against future NBA players. What? And what team was that you were playing for?
That was, they don't have a team no more. It was called Sharpshooters.
Sharpshooters, okay.
Yeah, it was just like a middle school, elementary type thing. But we had good players on the team, though.
So it kind of got serious for you right away, hopping into it.
Yeah.
going to Vegas for your first AAU. Mm-hmm. And then that passion that you had right there, did that drive you to start playing in high school? Like, what was the situation going into high school then with somebody kind of coming to the game late?
Well, I end up, so that following year, I think that was 14s, then I started like really, cause I stopped playing at like the Y's and stuff like that and really start playing AAU and stuff like that. And then by the time I got into high school, I kind of already got the swing and stuff. It was real.
Yep. So where'd you go to high school and what was that experience like?
Man, I had a crazy high school journey. I went to a bunch of different schools. So my mom was sick for a period of time. She's good now. She was sick for a period of time, so we was like homeless. So we would be at my granny house, cousin house, this motel, that motel. So I went to like six different high schools.
Whoa.
But the one that I went to the longest that really just changed my life was Beverly Hills. I went to Beverly Hills High School for about two years or so. And that really was like the funnest experience, high school experience I had.
Jarvis Turner?
No, it was Luis Tercio. So okay. He coaches now. You know, he went in, I think he was a GA with Indiana under Bobby Knight, I believe. Mm. He actually went to Beverly Hills, coached at Beverly Hills. He coached pro in Mexico and El Salvador, and now he has a youth program in Mexico.
Oh, dope.
So, and I still keep in contact with him. So we talk frequently. I actually just talked to him the other day. But he was our high school coach, though.
Man, that's crazy. And then are you the oldest sibling?
Yep.
Yeah. I was like, you give off the older brother vibe.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm the oldest one.
So you said, no, you're with your mother being sick and taking that kind of responsibility young and kind of moving around, probably matured you quickly.
For sure. I was like, I mean, I was still a kid. I still had fun and lived the kid life, but I still was living an adult life at the same time, just as far as like responsibilities and kind of having to figure stuff out.
Yeah,
you know, part of it was obviously the era I grew up in, which is much different than now. Like kids don't even take taking the bus doesn't even like
right.
register.
They probably don't even know how to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like you wouldn't even know how to do it. So just having a responsibility, like I said, it was a lot on me early on just because of things like that. But then also the era I was in. So I definitely had some adult ways about me at a young age for sure.
Yep, no, that maturing it can make you or break you. And so it's good to see, you know, having those things and now all the success that you're having and impacting other kids' lives because you know what it could have been or, you know, that kind of thing. So in high school, did you have skill? You're a skill developer, right? Been doing it forever. You know, I moved back out here in 2007 and when I got into like actually developing, I was 2012 or so when I actually like started really doing it. And you were, you know, one of the first people I heard about doing it as well. All this, you know, all the kids would go to, I forgot what you were doing then. Was it maybe SCA?
So, dang, man, I did P. Miller Ballers.
Okay.
I did SoCal All-Stars. That was SCA.
That's SoCal, okay, yeah, okay.
Pat Barrett. I did I-10 Celtics. ESP started. It was so much.
Man.
Yeah, the middle school space, elementary space is just wild, wild west. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, 100%. So in high school, what mentors did you have? You said your coach had a big impact. You said Beverly Hills was the place, you know, where you had the most fun.
Yeah.
What contributed to that?
So really, man, I wouldn't be able to say one person specifically, but definitely my high school coach had a big impact. And then part of the time I lived with Master P, with Romeo and those guys. So being around Master P and Silk and, you know, seeing them obviously kind of come from, you know, kind of where I come from and just really just see them drive and, you know, figure out how to kind of really just get it out the mud and ended up being family men and, you know what I'm saying? And so I think those guys, being around those guys, I can kind of call them mentors. Just seeing them kind of how they got it done.
Man.
You know what I mean? So I really had a cheat code, like being around them. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously my mom, my dad, other people as well, but that's really a cheat code. Seeing somebody kind of just come from a beginning where you come from and seeing them every day, just how they operate with different people and how they get stuff done. I really was fortunate to be around that.
Man, that was in high school?
That was in high school.
Wow. So you that's on the job training.
Dude, it's crazy. Like I played AAU with Dinos as well, but we were playing at, it was like a Pangos event. I think it was like top 20, whatever that class was, showcase. It was like the top 20 players or whatever. So Romeo was on my team, and it was subs every 5 minutes. So at the time, I don't even know if I was in school at the time, to be honest. He had asked me, like, because it's sub every 5 minutes, so we on the bench together. He asked me, like, what school you go to? I'm like, bro, I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know. You know, at that particular time, I don't think I was registered at a school, whatever. And he was like, we going here, this, that. And then we just put the whole play together. And then that's how I ended up.
Wow.
With them, yeah. Uh-huh.
No, I tell people those events. There's certain events that are important for the networking.
Yeah.
You never know who you're going to meet and connect with, man. That's not the first time I heard something like that, right? And
crazy.
Making a connect just because you hooping and you doing your thing probably, and a moment that probably has a big impact on your life. So,
yeah.
Now, through high school, where'd you finish, end up finishing that? Was it Beverly? Did you graduate from Beverly Hills, or where'd you end up finishing that? And what was, you know, who was you playing against?
Yeah,
you know, I love the Connect LA basketball. Who were you playing against at the time? Any good memories?
So I played AAU with DeMar DeRozan. I played AAU with Brandon Jennings. Obviously grew up playing against Jrue Holiday. We're actually good friends. in that era, man, I played against everybody because I did all the camps or everything. You know what I mean? So played against everybody. Played with Jordan Hamilton, played against Jordan Hamilton. We played AAU together, played AAU with Derek Williams. And it's crazy because, like, majority of these guys that, and that's the cool thing about social media, like, you can kind of just still stay in contact.
Yep.
And even if it's not through social media, you might lose contact with a dude, DM, you got a new number, you know what I mean? So growing up in that space and then with social media and everything, it kind of just keeps everybody still connected. Like, and it's strange because we're like all still close. Like Dallas, he's doing his thing with PG. And I sat on the phone with Dallas for like an hour and we didn't talk for, I don't know, 7 months. You know what I mean?
Right.
But like just all of us, you know, playing basketball with each other, all of us are still connected and stuff. But I played against and with everybody, anybody you can think of in that era, from the 07 class to the 2010 class.
Man.
You know what I mean? So played AAU with Kawhi Leonard. I think I played like 2 tournaments with them. So I kind of just connect with everybody, you know.
That's dope, man. And I think that's important for these kids to see, is that these are networking opportunities and to not take it for granted.
It's huge.
What would you tell them? How do you connect with people? And besides, you know, being yourself, is there any like tools you would give kids now? Like, hey, when you go to these places, this is the behaviors you should have.
Yeah, I mean, first, just being a good person. And I know that like everybody says stuff like that, right? But just having a good spirit, being a good person, and just obviously you want to be yourself, you know what I mean? But really, I think people can recognize when people are real, and you can recognize when someone has like a good spirit and a good person.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times it's crazy in this space, like, you know, everybody talks about everybody, right? Like everybody has negative things to say about this guy, that guy. And even if it's something, they'll start with, oh, I heard this, I heard that. I think like for me, like I'm sure people say different stuff, positive stuff, negative stuff. But I think one thing I get a lot is, you know, I heard this, but once I got to know you, it's the complete opposite. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's big. You know, it's just make, like I said, like when you meet people, just making sure you be yourself and be real and genuine and just be a good person. And like I said, just keep your spirit right and clean.
No,
you know,
that's
and don't do anything to anybody that you wouldn't want to do to you.
The golden,
you know, and it's hard because obviously in this space, you know, there's recruiting, you know, it's you got to go get players.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think just try to be as ethical as possible in this space, you know, and it is hard because sometimes you might not intentionally be, you don't want to intentionally disrespect somebody or burn a relationship, but sometimes when there's players involved, different stuff happens, there's shifts. Sometimes, you know, at least for coaches, they may think you're recruiting this guy, but in reality, this guy came to you and it's just a whole, you know what I mean? So it's kind of difficult, but
now you talk about the ethics of it, and I think the one thing that we all should have in common is that it's about these kids. And mm-hmm. that's why I respect you, because you've always been about these kids, no matter what it's been. It's like, no, the kids are, they're in the gym with you, and you ain't, you training them, you coaching them hard, and everything, like you said, people say stuff about you, right? I've known you from the distance. People said these things, and I'm like, okay, dog, he worked. Every kid yeah. I know that works with him loves working with him. That's all I'm about. If he's helping kids, you put over probably 100 plus kids into college, probably even more at this point. Like, what are we talking about? If you're doing that, don't worry about with this man, who you think yeah. this man is. Go get to know him, because he's helping people.
And I think that's a big thing. Like, it's crazy to me because, again, it may be just LA, just West Coast. It may be everywhere. I don't know. But, like, people just talk so much trash about each other, kind of go against each other. But in reality, yes, different people make revenue, this and that, but you're doing it because you love the game. Yep. And you love helping kids and helping people. And, like, even, like, to this day, like, I talk to everybody that's played for me. Like, the guys that go Division I, the guys that go D2, D3, NAI, the guys that are just working now or yep. whatever. Like, I talk to all my guys still, you know, and keep up with them. Even with, like, SoCal Academy, like, we have a group chat called Brotherhood. And it's all of our coaches that have coached with us, minus the ones that are coaching in college now, but because obviously there's college athletes in the group chat. But all the guys that have coached with us, as well as the guys that have played with us, right? So all our guys that went Division I, they're still in the group chat, and I send them stuff, and we all communicate with each other. You know, guy goes down, whatever, we may, you know, pray for this guy, and, like,
yep.
it's like a whole thing. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? But, you know, from the outside looking in, people wouldn't know that.
Right.
Right. And that goes for all of our, I communicate with all of our guys. Yep. No matter how good they're playing, what this, that, all of them, yep. you know? So I think we got to do a better job, like the coaches and the adults, just figuring out how to come together and obviously be competitive,
yep.
but communicate without making it disrespectful. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And, like, I think we just don't do a good job as a whole.
Right. We're in this LA market where there's an abundance of talent. Everybody can eat. And I've always had that mindset. Like, and you know that, like, that's the Travis thing. Is like, Travis wanted to start. He was literally with me from the first day we started CORE mm-hmm. to when he created SoCal.
Yeah.
And I was there the whole way with him. Like, nah, dog, do you. Like, we good. Like, let's yeah. go ahead, eat. And it baffles me when, I'm gonna say it. When grown men get in their feelings
yeah.
about something you trying to do to build yourself, goofy, especially as black men too. More importantly, like, we should be lifting each other up. If you go to Florida, them dudes all work together mm-hmm. to build up their thing.
Nah, like you hit it on the nail. Space. Like, it's just goofy and corny. Like, you got dudes that's 30 plus, 40 plus, 50 plus, like, talking trash about each other and going against each other. It's just goofy.
Yep.
And here's the thing, like, me and you may go after a player and you may get the player. But a year later, it might be a time where you might have a international kid that maybe you can't take. You might shoot him this way.
Yep.
It might be an event. We may collab on, like, you're always going to end up crossing paths and you're always going to be able to help each other.
Yep.
So that one incident is never worth it. And a lot of times it takes one conversation, a phone call, a talk in person. You might run into a guy in the gym, hey, can I holler at you? Like, and that's all it takes. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I feel like we miss out on so much more of a bigger opportunity because we're trying to compete so much and we get in our feelings and make it personal that we miss out on the bigger picture of what we can really do.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't have to be working together forever, but it can be that one weekend we decide, hey, let's do this. Cam together. You got these point guards. All right, let's do this point guard clinic together, or AAU team, or hey, my guy needs this. Maybe I can help your kid. Just different stuff like that, and yeah. it's just so much goofiness. And like I said, it's a lot of people that do a good job, and
right.
and sometimes, you know, like even for me, like, and I'm still learning, like, but like sometimes you enter the space and you think it's one way. Right. Like when I entered the basketball space, I thought, like, you have to go do this. You got to go do this. It don't matter if he play for this guy. Like, you got to go get it done. And I didn't really realize I was younger.
Yeah.
And then you kind of learn, like, no, you got to go about it this way. You got to go about it this way. And I think that a lot of times that happens. Like, guys are kind of in the maturing stages of, you know, understanding once you get in the space how stuff is supposed to be done, just the politics and the protocol of the space.
Yeah.
But the ones that you're talking about that's 40 plus, 50 plus, I don't get it. Goofy.
Dealing with their own insecurities, man.
Yeah,
so
I don't
deal with
it.
Your traumas so we could work together for these kids at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So when you came into the space, you know, you were around a lot of, I'm going to say, seasoned programs, seasoned vets, you know. How did you learn about the game fully? And you kind of did it a different way, man. You got kids in the gym. I think you were the first one out here who was like really just really training kids, and then you developed programs out of that and, you know, connected the dots. Did you have somebody, or would you say somebody should get a mentor when they come into this space?
I think definitely, I wouldn't say it's mandatory, but it's going to help your growth. It's going to maximize your growth faster.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I had Master P. I played for Dino's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it, you know, he's the godfather of this whole thing. And there's other, you know, there could be multiple godfathers, but he's one of, when you talk about, like, dudes that really got it done.
Yes.
Like, he's one, you have to mention his name. Like, no matter if you like him, don't like him, he don't like you, like, you have to mention his name. But the crazy thing is, so I started off volunteer coaching at the Y. That's how I started. I was volunteer coaching at the Y and reffing at the Y. But anyways, fast forward, I started, you know, training and all that kind of stuff. And like I said, I had Josh Christopher, Jaden Springer, Jalen Suggs, Jalen Green, Onyeka Okongwu, Mobley.
Suggs was out here? Like, how
did he would. So we had P. Miller Ballers.
Oh, gosh.
So we were sponsored, so he would play with us, stay out here for a week training, and then I mean, to this day, I talk to his family, we're like this, you know, so, but yeah, so we had the Suggs, all those guys, right, and Jaime Hawkins, I mean, so many dudes, list goes on, whatever, right, but I kind of built with some of those guys early, and then when they went to high school, you know, guys kind of went, you know, I didn't have a big high school team at that time. I think for that 2019 class. So, like, obviously, guys, I mean, you know, some of the programs that they went to, but yeah, I kind of just built my mark early with those dudes. And then I started doing events like camps. Mm-hmm. I started the King of Kings camp, and we had all the top middle school guys there. Right. And like I said, some of the names I named, and then, you know, Cassius Stanley as well, and some of the other good players that maybe didn't go to the NBA but had good college careers or whatever. And all the big AAU guys would come and recruit out of there.
Yeah.
I would literally do like a packet and the whole thing. Guys would come recruit. I would invite some of the local high school rioters to see who the next upcoming guys are. More just like they would look at the eighth grade and stuff like that. And we would get high school coaches and things like that. So then I think I started doing events with Dino's and Ryan Silver. And then obviously these guys came into these young guys I was working with, they end up being relevant in the high school space as they got older, which I became more relevant in the high school space. Unfortunately, some of the guys that were supporting me early on kind of started to, I don't want to, that might sound arrogant, view me as competition because they were already kind of so far ahead, but I think started to maybe view me as potential.
No, you had influence, call it what it is.
Yeah.
You had influence. I'm going to say it for you because I deal with it now, right?
Yeah.
I'm a middle school dude, right? That's what people say, right? And just like you, right? We touch every area of basketball from the youth to the pros.
Mm-hmm.
And so they see our influence, and I don't want to call it scared, intimidated, whatever. They just see that we have that.
Yeah.
And so.
And it's territorial.
Yes. And they, because they want to continue to be the man. But once again, it comes to, hey, you could build with me.
Yeah.
And I think they've learned that over time. I think that's why, you did have those opportunities. They were like trying to pull you in to the fold, and they want you, oh, come under what I have so they can grow their own business. But, you know, we can all eat.
So that, you know, and then I got in that space. But really, a guy that I could say that, man, really showed me, really taught me a lot and I learned from was Ryan Silver.
Yeah.
A ton. And it's like I said, like, that's another dude. You could like, not like him, man, whatever. Like, this dude, like, gets it done, and he's a dude that really, like, he never hated on me. Like, and he never was, like, scared that I would, like, go pass him or try to work against me. Like, he's like, dude, it's a free country. Like, everybody's going to do what they got to do. You know what I mean? But, like, he never, like, he always would put me on game, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's dope.
But, yeah, so he's definitely a dude that I could say, you know, back to your original question, like, do you think it's mandatory for a guy to get a mentor? I think it definitely helps. And maybe they don't have to be mentor, but just being around game. That's what it is. Like,
yes,
it helps being around game and being around those dudes. That's game. You know what I mean?
So one of your coaches, Steve, was here a few weeks ago or whatever, and he was talking about when he just, he left the corporate world to go be in the gym.
Uh-huh.
And he said... He was in the gym and he had you at a basket, Travis at a basket, Dash at a basket. Mm-hmm. Like, he was like, bro, I was like in basketball heaven, just soaking up the game, which is, you know, led him to his growth and everything he's doing now. So you're creating that environment yourself with what you're doing, man. Mm-hmm. So that's super dope. You know, you keep passing that down. So when did you know you were going to be in the training, coaching, and, you know, when did your career stop? You know, what let you know that you're going to transition into the other side of coaching and training with basketball?
I knew once I was going to be done. Like, even in high school, like, I felt like I just viewed the game differently. Not like in a, like, I was just smarter than everybody, but I, like, actually paid attention. Like, I was in the game not just thinking whoever scores the most points wins the game. Like, I was actually, like, looking at it and, like, I'm playing with, like, I'm subbing guys in and out. I'm on the floor looking at, you know, DeMar DeRozan play. Like, and he's scoring 30, you know, and I'm looking at how he's scoring 30. You know what I mean? And different stuff like that. We're playing against this team or whatever. You know what I mean? Playing against Kemba Walker. Like, I'm watching the game, but I'm not just watching the game. Like, I'm actually, like, studying it and, like, thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Not just like, oh, this team is good. This team is good. Like, really, like, kind of dissecting it, you know. So I already knew I was going to be into coaching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because kind of how I viewed it. And I knew I didn't want to do, like, the 9-to-5 thing. There's nothing wrong with it, but I knew that wasn't for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
It's two things that a lot of people who come on this show always say. One of them you said earlier, you volunteered at the YMCA. Mm-hmm. You did some grind work for free. To start off, I think a lot of people try to come in this game and think they're going to get the top dollar right away because they play somewhere or they whatever. That grind always has to be there. And then two, you didn't want to work that 9-to-5. So you created a situation around yourself that supports you and your family. And so I think those two things are super important to see that it's you can do it. Now, how hard was that? What work did that take to really build this lifestyle where basketball?
Yeah, it was a grind for sure, and it took time and learning and all that. But the reason why I wouldn't call it hard specifically is because I love doing it.
Yep.
So it didn't feel, while I was in the process, I loved the process. It didn't feel hard because I was, like, obsessed. Like, I love basketball. I love being in the gym. And, like, I love going to tournaments, eating with the families after, you chopping it up with pops, mom, we hanging out, like, you know, the kids hanging out, just loved the whole thing. So it didn't feel hard.
Yeah.
But it definitely was a grind for sure. And I think a lot of dudes, it's so funny, like, you know, obviously we got this premier program, whatever, like, people want to be a part of it. So guys will reach out to us, hey, you know, I just finished this playing here. You know, you guys got any room for coaches and this and that. Like, that's cool. You want to be around the game, but, like, they don't want to, like, grind and start from the beginning and kind of, like, climb their way up.
Yeah.
They want this title with this pay. And, like, bro, you got to, like, give something to the game. You know what I mean? First, and kind of work your way up and build that track record and resume. And, you know?
Yes.
And guys don't want to do it. And it doesn't make it. That means you don't really love the game. Like, you got to. And that tells me that's not the right fit for us.
Yeah.
Like, I can't hire you. You know what I mean? Like, Steve is, I'll tell you, like, Steve Jones, man. Elite.
Yes.
Elite.
Yes.
Like, this dude, like, he's one dude, like, I trust him like this. Like, that's really, like, family. But he do a great job. But, again, he loves the game. And, like, he started literally from the bottom. I watched him and just grind, work his way up.
He's not skipping any steps.
I
sat here and talked to him. I'm like, I said, hey, you know you're a high major Division I coach. Like, I could just hear it from talking to him. And, like, I think I've seen him train when he first started back when he was in Britt's old place.
Yeah, yeah.
At Dune City, like, way back in the day. But I know what he's done and the development that he, you know, the people he's working with. And I'm like, hey, bro, you're going to be a high-level coach, man. So 100%.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that because, and I've said it, I rebounded for 8 years with no pay.
That's real.
I rebounded for 8 years with no pay, not expecting it. Just, hey, Todd, can you come rebound? Yep. Yep, just saying, yeah.
Because you loved it.
That's it.
and you were soaking up game. And, like, that's the thing. Like, you can't put a price on game.
Yep.
If you're around game for free, like, that's worth more than whatever you're going to get for the training session, whatever. Like, if I can be around game for free, like, that's better than anything.
So you taking the lunch with Jay-Z or the money?
That's funny you say that. I'm going to take the money. But I get the question, though. Get it. I'm taking the bread for sure, but I get it, though. You know what I mean? But, like, that's the thing. It's not even about, like you said, like, you rebounded, but you're meeting this person. You're learning this. You're soaking up game. And guys just, again, just goofy. Like, I don't get it, you know? But it could maybe, the air, I don't know.
Well, no, I think they don't understand. I don't think they understand
the
process. And so, and this is what this is for, is to talk about it. But also get that advice. Like, if you starting off, if you're trying to grind with this, understand that you got to love the process. That's in anything you do if that you want to be successful at. Is if you fall in love with the process and not worry about, now I'm not saying go out there and be broke and be homeless, but also I'm saying use these opportunities to be in spaces where you're not being compensated to grow and learn the knowledge of what you know. This is the generation of experts. If you're an expert at something, you will get paid. Mm-hmm. People are the experts at origami making $100,000 a month because they know how to fold paper. They became an expert at it. Like, this is real stuff.
Yeah.
Go become an expert first, and then the money will roll in.
That's real.
So for y'all looking to get into any space, right? Mm-hmm. Man, pay your dividends. Pay your dues. Soak up the game. So started YMCA, Master P All-Stars. There's a couple routes that we went here. I want to talk about the Cali Stars because you did something and I love you branded yourself, I think, with Cali Stars, taking players that were not on these circuit teams, building an independent program, getting them to college and moving forward that space of independent programs. Like, people have been doing it forever, for sure. But out here in the Valley and on the West Side, Julius V was doing it.
I love talking about that because, one, we've had the most Division I players in the country in the last, I think, 8 years out of any program in America. And if there's somebody that's had more, maybe they're not saying their count out loud. We're saying our count out loud. And that's not disrespect to other programs or whatever. This is just the facts based on the numbers I've seen. Mm-hmm. And maybe, like I said, maybe programs aren't counting loud enough.
There was somebody on Twitter who does it. And I know they put independent in one column, though.
Yeah.
And so that's interesting.
And it's kind of hard. And look, when I count only guys that have played with us in the live period. So if you've suited up with us in a live period at least one time, we count it.
Okay.
Right. And I think that's kind of how they do it. But they may miss because they're counting for everybody.
Yeah.
But that's how we count it. We're not counting like, oh, this weekend is an off weekend, so this guy played with us or whatever.
Right.
We're not counting middle school because if we count middle school, then I'd say we've had 40 pros or whatever. We're not counting middle school.
Right.
We're counting guys that have played with us at least once during the live period, rather that been 15, 16s, or 17s.
Nice.
Okay, but I love talking about it just because it's kind of like I said, like we just got it out the mud. Like we took under the radar guys that nobody knew, and I trained them in the gym with them every day. We took guys who was, you know, maybe on the last man on the shoe circuit team, they come to us and crack. You know, and again, we just in the gym, like we practice, we get it out the mud. There's culture, we run sets, we have an identity. You know what I mean?
So like we reversible jerseys.
Yeah,
with
so
the t-shirts.
I'm gonna tell you how that see a lot of people don't know how that started. So I was doing it's crazy. We were doing I was doing an AAU team, a shoe circuit team with somebody. And now we're like super close, right? It's my boy. And another person you get game from. But my boy, right? So anyways, we kind of had our differences, whatever. I end up, and this is like maybe 2 weeks before the shoe circuit and the live period. Mm. And anyways, the guys that I brought over, we kept there. And it was cool because he did a great job with them. But I had to go figure it out. So I went and took like guys that I trained, this guy. And we went and played in a tournament in the live period. And not only were we wearing reversible jerseys, we were wearing mismatched reversible jerseys. Some guys had on Pangos camp jersey. Some guy had on their high school practice jersey. It was like that.
Ooh.
It wasn't no like we all had the same whatever. That's how we did it. And we were cracking, bro. We was just
who was that? So that? Was that the first high school team?
So that team, obviously, as the year went on, we started to pick up guys or whatever. So we ended the year. This one we made the big splash, right? We ended the year was the Bigfoot tournament. And we had CJ, who was my barber as a kid. He coached under Jason Hart, who's now the G League Ignite head coach. He coached under him at Taft. But me and him end up doing this together. And he was the assistant coach at Sierra Kane at the time, I think. So it was Terrell Gomez, Tego, Goon, Gorilla. He has like scoring records or some of that seats at Cal State Northridge.
Yep.
Went to San Diego State. He's playing pro now. But I grew up with his brother, Deshaun Gomez, who was cold. But we had Terrell Gomez, Adam Seiko, who played at San Diego State. He's playing pro now. Cody Riley was at UCLA, nationally ranked in the country. Rip Economo was a rising junior. He was playing up. He ended up going to Seattle U. His younger brother played at SCA.
Yeah.
And he's now at going to Hawaii. Alpha Coley was playing up. He ended up going to St. Bonaventures. Alpha Coley, I saw at a park gym, never played organized basketball. Never played organized basketball as a sophomore. Went to the A-10, St. Bonnie's. It was the year after they were top 25 in the country. Who else was on that team? Joe Wallace, who went to UCLA, was at Sierra Canyon. I got to name everybody. I can't miss nobody.
I can pull the picture up. We can find the picture. I know it.
Hold on. Who else was on that team? Okay.
No, we ain't gonna miss nobody. I'm pulling the picture up. That's why I love this show, because we can do this.
You know what? I think that was a six.
Yes, it was a six for sure. Or no, it wasn't a, no, I'm not gonna
that
say
that.
That was
somebody. It. That's not the team that won Bigfoot. This is the team that, yeah, that, this was the first original team. So
gotcha,
anyways,
okay.
We went and beat all these shoe circuit teams, okay? I'm not gonna name teams. We beat a bunch of shoe circuit
why
teams.
Why not, Julius?
Can't do it.
All right.
That's one thing I learned. Relationships.
Yes, nope. Good
relationships. So we beat all these shoe circuit teams, right? And we made it to, I think, the final four. They put us in like the bottom bracket. We climbed up, bottom, whatever. We climbed all the way up. We had to play extra games. No buys. Our pool didn't get buys. We just cracking. Me and CJ just cracking everybody, right? our games are packed now, coaches coming. We lost on like a buzzer beater or something. I think we lost on a buzzer beater to, don't quote me on it, but I think it was Pooley Panthers. The kid that went to Wisconsin, I think his name was like Brad something. Okay. He had like game winner or whatever. So anyways, the following year, we lost to Pooley Panthers again. Mm. And that was, I think Tyler Harrell got a putback. We lost in semifinals. And then the following year, that's when they were like, man, are they the best team in the country? It was like us and like two other really good programs, one Adidas, one Nike. And, you know, there was a lot of like ruckus about that or whatever, but we won. We beat, I don't know how many teams, shoe circuit teams to win that. And we won a championship against Mac Irvin Fire, and they were really good. They had like Khalil Whitney, who was a goon. They had a guard going to, I think he went to Kansas.
Yeah, KU, yeah.
TJ Shannon, I say Illinois. But we played that team, and we ended up beating them in a championship or whatever. And that year we actually had matching reversible jerseys.
Yeah.
Okay, we upgraded. We had matching reversible jerseys. But the reason why I kept doing the reversible jerseys and not like the cool uniforms and all that, because it just represented to me just grimy, no politics, just go get it done.
Yeah.
Like all the other stuff, name on it, none of that matters. It just fades. You know, so that's why we kept doing it. But how we started was kind of funny. I was scrambling around, like I said, I didn't know what to do, and we just start grabbing. Oh, you got your practice jersey, this camp jersey. But that was the year, that was the 2019 class. Mm-hmm. We were really good. A lot of guys, Josh Vasquez, Montana, Jordan Williams, went to Santa Clara now at Montana, Lazar Nekic, LMU, James Keefe, Stanford, Antoine January, committed to Illinois. He actually left right before that tournament and went and played with a different team. But gosh, who else was on that team? Sean Harlson was playing football at UC Davis. Gian Westbrook, he committed to Colorado State. Ended up going to New Mexico State. We were loaded, whatever, but we ended up winning that whole thing. But it was cool, man. Really cool. It was a good experience for our guys. So
you were very outspoken on social media during that time. And I think it's built your brand, and you were riding for the kids. Like, right? So as a hooper, I know that. People mm-hmm. get rubbed the wrong way with that kind of stuff. What's your purpose in doing that and letting people know? What's in brand building, right? Now we're talking about the business, right? And there's something to it on social media. What is that?
So early on, like around that time specifically, I was rubbing a lot of people the wrong way. And my count was out loud, but it was maybe like going at guys or whatever. Like I would literally say, like I remember I'm not going to name the name. We beat a shoe circuit team just like right before they shut down basketball for COVID. Mm. And they had took one of our best players, this team specifically. And now again, me and that director are like this now.
Yep.
We sit on the phone an hour and a half, 2 hours, right? But I remember I tweeted after the game, like I had on, I think a Tupac shirt, and I don't know, I coached in like some Vans or something crazy. And I just, well, like we just popped so-and-so, you know, I had on a Tupac shirt, this and that. You know, just talking whatever. Instead of just saying, hey, you know, we got a good win against a respectable pro. Yeah. You know, I did that. I had to learn or whatever. Now I am outspoken mm-hmm. on Twitter, but not in a disrespectful way. Yeah. And a lot of it is really just me giving players game and parents game and
people
game. You know what I mean? So now,
where did that maturity come from? Like, let's talk about that. did you have some accountability people showing you that wasn't the way, or did you just kind of learn from it?
You know, some people might say this. I remember, damn, who was it? I can't think, it was an OG in this. Called me like multiple times. Like, I think one time, Don Lee Minor was OG in this.
Yes.
He's with, I just seen him yesterday at one of the events, but I think one time he called me, gave me game. You know, just different stuff like that, like guys coming and just giving you game. I was younger and yeah. I was excited. I was young and excited. Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily like to go at that person. So I was young and excited. I was excited for our kids, our program, yeah. myself. We was excited. I was young and turned.
Yes.
You know, so, but now I kind of just figured out, and again, like it might have been like relationships that I didn't have because of that. And then maybe once I had a conversation with the person, they're like, look, this is what it, and then I'm like, you're right. Now that I look at it this way, you know, but I think just off experience and getting older and like, again, like Don Lee Minor calling me, hey, Jesus, yeah. you know, I get it, but you know, something like that, you know, or Silver or Dino's, whoever, yeah. you know what I mean? Different people.
Yeah, some OGs looking out.
Yeah, there. Just kind of just, you know, in a space. And then I think now, like again, we may count out loud or talk out loud, but it's not targeting guys or disrespecting guys.
And you spit
or,
facts now.
Yeah, and you it's giving facts. Guys games. Yeah, yes. it's a different thing now. You know, and like, it's crazy because I used to compete with this program, that program, and now, like, I literally have relationships with a lot of the program directors and I'm very close with these guys,
yeah.
you know? And like, even to the point they might want a player and it might make more sense for them to go with that group. And I like, hey, I'm gonna connect you with the parent or connect, this makes yeah. more sense. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like,
it's stuff about the
like
kids,
that.
Man.
Yeah, like, you know, but I think just getting older and stuff.
Yeah,
know?
No, I definitely saw that maturation. You know, I was just laughing at the tweets. It had nothing to do with impacting me. I'm like, yo, this dude, wow. And yeah. then, but seeing you mature and hearing, and seeing you on the sideline. I remember in those Cali Stars days, like you was turnt on the sideline, yeah. uh-huh. but you were riding for your players. Like, that's why I was like, yo, at least he doing it. Some of these dudes just sitting down and not saying yeah. nothing. So I always respect that. And then now seeing you coach and just hearing about the SCA practices, what college coaches come to say about it, like, yo, they do it. You know what I mean? Like to see you just grow as a coach. It's like, man, that's why if people are getting better, I'm good. If you still doing the same stuff 5 years from now, I don't even know if you'd be sitting in this chair, to yeah. be real. Like, but to see that growth, it's like, that's dope, man. And yeah. you are impacting these kids. Like, you changing their lives, man.
Yeah.
Like, so thank you, man. That's, you know, yeah, that's beautiful what you've done for the game. So, Cali Stars, okay. And so, after Cali Stars, your next jump was SCA. Did EHA come before SCA? Around
it came after.
Okay, so SCA. So, you meet Travis. How does this come about? What are you doing in these valley streets, man?
Man, that's a crazy story, too. Like, I had a kid. He was leaving a prep school. I had to put him somewhere I needed him just for his growth and maturity. It wasn't that the school did a bad job and they were doing a good job. The kid just needed me there regularly where he can see me. You know what I mean? And I needed to put him somewhere like close to me. And this is crazy though. So I didn't know Travis Percy. I knew of him, obviously, you know, and I remember seeing posts and stuff like of the middle school piece that he was doing and it was gonna turn into high school and all that. So randomly, I'm on the phone with Terrell Gomez, with Tego, and I'm like, man, can you send me Travis' number? Cause I knew he knew Travis. Can you send me Travis' number? He's like, I'm with Travis right now. We just got done working out.
Wow.
So we give Travis the phone, we talk. We go to Sports Rehab LA and meet in one of the, because the kid had treatment there. I was like, meet there. He comes with like an iPad or his laptop or something. Like, bro, let's just talk. You don't got to show me none of that. We can just be real. You know what I'm saying? So, and he's like that though. I don't know if he didn't know if I was like that or whatever. So he's real. Mm-hmm. So we end up just sitting down talking for like an hour, just brainstorming. And then he's like, why don't you coach? Right? Because I was going to send the kid there. He's like, why don't you coach? I'm like, dang, maybe I should coach. So then we end up being partners and I'm coaching. And this was during Corona or COVID. So we're recruiting all kind of like
everybody
on like through social media, like videos and stuff like that. Yep. There was only three kids that I saw live before. The first year of Section 7, Jalen Weaver was playing with his collar before he came to us. He was at a school in Colorado, just killing. I remember sitting there. I was sitting with Bobby Hurley at Arizona State watching him play. They had a ton of coaches there, but we was just sitting there. They were playing so hard, and he was just killing. Saw him live. That was a year prior. And then Jalen Thompson. So Jalen Weaver's at Fresno State now. But Jalen Thompson, who's at Stanford, and Ozziah Sellers, who's at USC, they came like for a visit. I worked them out. And I'll never forget that call, man. Jalen Thompson was nationally ranked. So we got a nationally ranked player. He was a junior. Called me, he was like, "Hey coach, I decided, you know, something like I want to come play for you." I couldn't believe it. I was so happy. Cause he was like the right kid for us. Like, just like he just met our culture, good family. And then Ozziah Sellers was his best friend, who's at USC now. Called, committed. Mm. I couldn't believe it. So we started, we got those three guys. Then we added Yaru Harvey, who's from NorCal. He ended up going to Portland. Skylar Wilson, who played AAU with Jalen Weaver. They were Billups at the time. And he ended up at Portland, committed to us. Then we got a kid, Kingsley Ejioma. He committed to us. He's at Sam Houston State. Drayshawn Doyne, he ended up going to Central Arkansas. Then Anthony Swift came to us because they end up not playing basketball in Nevada.
Yeah.
So connected with him, he ended up coming to us. He went to Southern Utah. And then Ben Schulzberg ended up coming to us, who ended up at Creighton, who's now at Santa Barbara because it was during Corona as well. Yeah, so that was our first roster.
Man.
And then from there was a wrap.
Yeah.
From there was a wrap.
It's crazy how things come together and dots are connected through relationships. Like you said, like you call Terrell, and Terrell's with Travis.
Yeah.
You meet him and we know Travis. Travis, he's very particular about who he work with. And mm-hmm. So for him to know right away in the first conversation with you, you know, that and what you guys have done since then is just amazing. But it's a testament to all the work you put in before. All the groundwork, all the camps, Cali Stars, everything that you've done is a testament to what SoCal is today. And what was the next step? How do you improve something that turned out really great in the first year, right? Like you said, you were mind blown with the commitment you got with Jalen being the first one, and then it doing so well. You guys were nationally ranked that first year.
Yeah. So nationally ranked, last 3 years we've had, I think, 40 guys go Division I. That's more than anyone in the country. I think any high school or prep school, I mean, that's a crazy number, right? That's on average, 13, 14 guys Division I a year, right? And that's in 3 years. That's like 39 or 40. But, man, honestly, and, like, guys will give me credit, whatever, we did a good job, whatever, but I had a great staff, bro. Like, I remember, like, just getting out on the road and just recruiting. We would go to every EYBO session and just recruit. And my assistant at the time, he's in college now coaching, but my assistant at the time, he would bring his laptop. We would literally do PowerPoints. Like, kids would be playing after games, and we would find somewhere in the gym, their parent or whatever, pull up the PowerPoint. I mean, we was thirsty, all you could do is really respect. But I had a great staff that was committed to it, and we would just get out and recruit. We'll catch wind. Hey, I heard this kid's looking to move. Boom. And we get on that.
I have a question about that because, being in the more traditional high school space, right, rather than the national prep school, the recruitment of these kids to go to prep schools, you being the director of a program that does that, and having relationships with high school coaches as well. You know, do you see the that's a, you know, what's your thoughts on it? Like you said, hey man, I'm just going to go get this kid because I want to give him a better opportunity. Like what it, where is the we talked about it earlier, the you know, I guess the respect factor,
ethical, unethical, and ethical, like not burning relationships. That's a tough question. So in LA, obviously this is the space I'm in. I live here. You know, some of these coaches I've known as kids, some of these coaches, they've kids play AAU with me. I have relationship with these guys playing my events. It's different stuff, right? So LA is hard for me to recruit at.
Yeah.
Because the things I just mentioned. Now, this is the part where it gets tricky. Sometimes a lot of these kids I did heavy lifting with. They played AAU with me in middle school. I trained them in middle school. I've known their family since elementary school, whatever. Then they go off to the high school and I want them to come play for me.
Yeah.
That's the part where it gets hard at. And sometimes it's even been situations where I told the kid, this is before I had a prep school, hey, this is the best situation for you. You should go to this school. I build the prep school. Now I'm trying to double back and get the guy to come play for me. That's the part that makes it hard. And I feel like the high school coach should be understanding to that and understand where I'm coming from in that.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not going to name names or whatever, because these are dudes that I respect and I want to have good relationships with. And some of them do maybe understand. But that's the part that makes it hard.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's like, I'm doing the heavy lifting. I bring them to you. Now I have this opportunity for them. And now it's kind of like, are you going to get that this opportunity may be better, or at least we think it may be better, whatever, you know? And that's not saying that this guy's not doing a good job or this guy's not doing a good job, whatever.
Yeah.
But we think this is a better opportunity. I have an existing relationship. I actually did more heavy lifting than you did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is just the truth. And now you're upset because I want the guy that I did heavy lifting with to come play with me.
Yeah.
And I've been in that situation. That makes it hard.
What's the communication like with that coach? I think that's the part.
Man.
Where, you know, like tell.
Yeah, hey. So there's been coaches that I've had talks with.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's been coaches that I, not coaches, maybe one or two guys that I haven't had that talk with. And I wish I could, and maybe just not the right time, or maybe I feel like maybe they won't be receptive to it or whatever, you know, but it's hard sometimes if the guy's not understanding. And then there's been situations where the kid may want to come here and I'm like, bro, I can't do it. Like that's happened.
Wow.
And see, people don't even know that that's happened. Where a kid will be like, man, I want to come there. The parent like, hey, what's going on with this? I'm like, bro, I can't do it. I can't do it to that coach. That's happened too, where I'm like, man, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I want guys to feel like I said, I do AAU teams. Like, I don't want, if guys come play AAU with me, you're going back to your high school. You're not going to come play AAU here, turn on your coach.
Right.
He put him with me. Like, I don't get down like that, you know. Now, that's why you see most of our roster is out-of-state guys. I don't have relationships with those guys. Not all. I mean, I have relationships with a lot of out-of-state guys, but I may not have a relationship with that coach. This is just a way better opportunity. You're 6'5". You're the tallest kid on your team. You're playing against guys in practice every day who have no chance of going to college. How does this not make logical sense?
Yes.
Your coach, if he cares about you, should be congratulating you for the opportunity.
Yes.
And we should be able to work together on it.
Yep. And if maybe it's about the kid.
Yeah, and maybe I almost slipped and said, maybe I feel like that because I'm on this side, but I've been on that side before.
Yep.
Like right now, there's times where it may not make sense for them to play AAU with me.
Mm.
Hey, you need to go. This makes sense for you to go play EYBL.
Yeah.
Best platform is cracking. This is a better opportunity for you specifically. Right?
Yes.
Maybe it's not always the case, but for that person specifically, go play with this EYBL team. It makes more sense for you.
I think that's what it's about. The two, if we're looking at what's best for the kid, you as a prep school coach and a traditional high school coach, it's like, yo, this is for, what's best for the kid.
I'm gonna tell you, it was
it's real.
Dusty Schromer. I had Dusty Schromer from 8, 9 years old, all the way up to like his. He was playing with me, maybe to his freshman, sophomore year. I did heavy lifting, and I'm still like. Me and the dad, Eric, like this, like yep. the kid, like it's like family, literally.
Yep.
You know, like I cannot talk to them for 3 months and we see each other hug. It's exciting. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But that's a prime example. Like he had an opportunity to go play.
You referred him to Core.
Yes.
So thank you. Like, yes. Exactly. Yes. Go ahead.
Yes. So he had an opportunity to go play EYB and it was some high-level teams recruiting him that do a good job. And it made sense for him to go play on that platform.
Yeah.
And he was getting offers with us. He was getting all this attention, whatever. But it made sense for him specifically
yes.
to go do this. And we sent him there. So I almost slipped up and said, oh, I'm on this side. Maybe I can't understand. No, we should all understand. We're of age.
Yes.
You know it's a better opportunity for the kid. If you care about the kid, then put them in a better situation. It's just real simple.
Yeah, I think that balance comes from the coach understanding and then the communication from your end and them understanding who you are and what y'all really do. I think it's a, you know, some people think because of the prep school and how it feels like the Wild Wild West, even though it has to be super organized to play the schedule y'all play, to get all the colleges in, to make sure they transcripts is right. Like the things that y'all do, a school has support for. You were actually doing all of that.
That
and
part.
So I think the understanding of what y'all actually do and what you guys are looking out for, if the coaches understand that more, they'll be more accepting. And then the communication from your end would always be great. You know what I mean? Like, hey, yeah, this kid wants to go here. Let's talk about it. And this is at the end of the day, coaches, it's the parents' choice. It's the parents' choice.
Yeah.
The parents got to choose this. So it ain't like you're stealing them. No, if you got them to go to your school, it's because the parents decided that. No yeah. beef with you at the end of the day, too.
That's another part. Like, that's kind of like you go out to the club, you have a girl, she leave you to go with another dude. She chose up. I'm not going to get mad at the girl. I mean, I'm not going to get mad at the dude.
Right.
The girl made that decision. I'm not, to keep it honest, I'm not even going to get mad at the girl. That's on you.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the same thing of, like, the basketball space. Like, if this kid doesn't play basketball, that's still his parents.
Yep.
Like, the parents are the real heavy lifters. And you're getting mad. Like, they make that decision. That's their kid. If they feel like that's the best situation, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, like, when you don't, and this is game from Ryan Silver. When you aren't sour, when you lose a player or whatever, you just keep it cool. Okay, man, good luck, man. You know, this and that. Keep it cool with the program he goes through. Keep it cool. That kid made that decision. The parent made that decision. That's it. Long term, keeping it cool will pay off.
Yes.
Being sour and being a hater and being a sore loser or whatever, it never works out. It never works out. You trying to get your little point across and have an attitude early, it's never going to work out. You know, so. But, yeah, it is a little hard, like, trying to keep yeah. it. Right. But I think I've done a pretty good job of it. I haven't really burned relationships or whatever. Like I said, some guys may have felt a certain type of way. But for the most part, I think I've kept it pretty clean.
Yeah.
You know.
No, for sure. I think it just, I think it needs to be talked about because nobody gets to hear your side. Right, mm-hmm. unless you in the gym and you talking to these people, but I think Southern California needs to hear. And because my thing is this, man, we have way too much talent for us not to have an elite prep school team playing at a very high level. Like this, it's crazy that you have to go to other states and represent SoCal Academy mm-hmm. to the rest of the world. You know?
Yeah, and that's another piece to it. I feel like we don't have like. To me, for us to do this in LA, like it should be more like guys should be coming together and like, man, this is like LA, SoCal, like we don't have that. Like yeah. guys just like I feel like that's, like, guys support it because they got to support it. Like, we have players. That's, I feel like that's more of the reason why they're like, you got to support it.
Yeah.
Like, we went to the point, it's like, where politics or nothing, you can't, it's undeniable. We have players, we're doing a good job, our guys are going to college. You can't hate on it, you can't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, but that was like, we, like I said, kind of just broke the door down. Like, it wasn't like just genuine, like, people support. That's how I feel about it, you know, and that's strange to me. Yeah. Like, we haven't had, like, we've had something like this in our city, similar. Maybe wasn't as popular because there wasn't the social media and all that, but Stone Ridge Prep was, I mean, elite, right? Yeah. But we had something like that in LA, but now with, again, we have this in LA and, like, we have the social media and stuff, so that's why it's become popular or whatever. But I've, like, what you said, like, it's just strange. Like, why are we not, like...
You got to earn your respect, right?
You know
what I'm saying? You got, literally, seemed like it came out of nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. It was a middle school space, and then, boom, you have a high school team with 8, 9 Division I commits. Mm-hmm. People, what's going on? Because people think that most of the time, right, something that is successful quick, they don't think it lasts. They think it's...
Yeah, yes.
And... Yeah. I don't think people knew who you were and your influence in this community, mm-hmm. right? And people don't know who Travis stays out of the light, but Travis has one of the craziest business minds I've ever been around. Mm-hmm. And so that power together leads to the success you're still having.
And you hit it on the nail, like, me and, like, without Travis, this doesn't get done. Without me, it doesn't get done. Like, we come together and, like, that's just a prime example of, like, if guys come together, like, you can build, like, things that are special. You know what I mean? You're going to have disagreements.
Right.
That's going to happen. Like, you're going to have disagreements, but you can build something special. I forgot to hit on one piece on the recruiting.
Yeah.
A lot of times I catch myself trying to be a nice guy, and I'll hear a kid is leaving, but because I don't want to, like, disrespect their situation, I won't reach out to the kid or the family, and then I end up losing. The kid ends up leaving, like, I thought, and going somewhere else. And I'm sitting here trying to be a nice guy or whatever, you know? So sometimes that happens too, where, you know, we end up, like, on my side, we end up trying to be so, you know, nice or whatever, you end up losing the guy,
yeah.
You know? So
you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So there you go. Shoot the shot. Thank you, man. Thank you for being transparent about all that, man. Good. It's appreciated, because... I think people have a misconception, right, of what you're really doing and what you're trying to do and how it impacts this whole Southern California basketball community. So I think that clarity will help, and I hope the coaches are hearing that, man, ultimately this is about these kids. And so let's have good relationships so we can just continue to build. Because regardless of how good SoCal Acad is, the Mission League, still one of the top high school leagues in the country. You still getting dudes. It's not like we have that much abundance of talent.
We have the most players in the NBA.
It's easy. We are the Mecca of basketball. Keon Kendrick was on here the other week. Same thing. Like, we are the Mecca. LA, forget the mother places.
Oh, I forget. Keon game. Got real game. That's,
yes.
That's,
oh, no,
another,
he was
person.
An amazing,
yeah,
guy.
Yeah. That's another dude. Like, he don't have no hate in him at all.
None.
He gonna call you, give you game, like, support you. Like, I rock with him. Like, that's a real OG,
yes,
to me. Like, you see young dudes coming up and you're hating. Like, you're hating. Instead of, even, like, it's dudes right now, like, young guys getting in the game. They may do something that, hey, that don't look cool, that don't make sense. You should probably, I'll just call them and tell them. I don't end up not being cool with them or hating on them, right, or talking. I'll just give them game. Like, hey, if I were you, off of experience, I wouldn't do X, Y, Z. But Keon, OG, for sure.
When people realize you're in competition with yourself and not with other people, then we all win. Because it's just an abundance of opportunity, and we can all reach our goals and still have this competitive spirit versus one another. But the competition is with yourself to be great. Y'all focus on you. Y'all ain't focus on what these other programs are doing. Like you said, you did it your way. You went to every session. You had your PowerPoint on the spot. You wasn't trying to plan no meeting. Nah, you gonna get this work right here and understand and continue to build. So SoCal has grown, right? It's, you guys are getting high level players, nationally ranked, going on the grind circuit. This year you guys invited to over to OTE League, mm-hmm. and all that. What's that experience like, man, just jumping over to a pro level league with your players?
Sheesh, man. When I tell you the that platform, elite. From like just the media coverage, obviously, the marketing, the branding of the league. But really, the other two things that I'll say is three. The environment is crazy. Environment is crazy. Like, packed, sold out. Like, you don't know who's going to show up. Floor seat. It's crazy. Right? Crazy. But the other two things is the organization of the league. Like, when I tell you how sharp they are, like, with everything they do, like, just everything is just sharp. Like, they'll bring you in just for, like, you'll meet, they'll all fly to Atlanta, all the coaches, just to talk about the rules, how many timeouts, should we do this, should we do that, and, like, just organize. They prep you for everything. Super organized. But the biggest thing is the competition is insane. There's top 50 guys, top 100 guys in the country, high major guys, that are playing 12 minutes a game. It's like crazy. Dang. Like, the competition is unreal. It's physical. It's fast. You have to think on the fly. It's crazy. It's crazy.
How'd you guys adjust playing in that for the first time?
Well, we're going to see how we adjust the next time we go out there. Okay, in January.
They introduced to it, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, it was, I mean, we did good considering, like, it being new for us. Mm-hmm. You know, we left points on the board and gave guys points just from some of the, there's a couple different rules, nothing crazy, but a couple different rules that our guys weren't used to. Mm-hmm. So, but it's helped us in our regular prep school and high school schedule.
Yep.
So, it's, you know, increased our physicality, our ability to think on the fly. It has increased our ability to think and compete at the same time. It increased our ability to be able to not get so emotional, right, from our coaches to our players. Like, because the league is just, it's loud, it's crazy. It's crazy. So the development that we've made, like, and some guys may, you know, they may go into the league and complain about this, that. For me, I'm looking at it like, hey, we're getting better.
Yeah.
Like, we're getting better. And, like, it, and if you saw it, like, we just played in Tarkanian in Vegas, and we looked really, really, really good. So and one of our top guys was out for a concussion. You know, and we felt it the first game, right, like not having his length and measurements and shooting ability out there. But we adjusted from there, and then those next two games, like, we felt it. Like, our energy, everything was different, you know? So it's been really good, man. And our guys like it. It's a good experience because we get to do both.
Yeah.
We play in the OT League, and we don't play as our team name. We play as Rolling Loud, which is, like, the event. Yeah. You know, people like the concerts or whatever, but we play as them. And then outside of it, we play our regular prep school, high school schedule, SoCal Academy. So, man, it's the best thing, bro. Like, our guys get the best of both worlds, you know? So it's really, really, really cool.
That's dope. Super dope. So what can we look forward to with SoCal just for the rest of this season and even moving forward, you know, just if you give an outlook?
Man, right now we're 8-1, and we lost one game by, I think, like 2 or 3 points. We have, not counting OTE, I think we have like maybe 10 games in January. So hopefully we go to February 1 as 18-1.
Yeah.
But outside of winning games, really just continue to get better, make noise, and kind of just, you know, keep doing our thing. But long term, just keep building, increasing the numbers of guys that go to college. I mean, this year we have Nas Cunningham's going to Alabama, Larry Johnson to Creighton, Miles Goodman to Penn State, Dom Stewart to Penn State, Dale Jones to Clemson, AJ Okonemo to Hawaii, Micah Ballou to Portland, Michael Oaks to Incarnate Word. I'd always do this. Why am I forgetting? I know there's more. I gotta check.
No, I would, please.
I don't want to look crazy.
Nope, let's not. That's good. You got to go to your list. That means you got a lot.
Yeah, who else do we got going this year? We got a couple guys that haven't made decisions yet, but is that everybody? Yeah, I guess that's everybody right now. I think we have 8 committed so far.
Dope.
Hope I'm not missing anybody. But there'll be like another like 4 or 5 guys that'll commit.
Yeah.
And
I
then
this. Real quick commercial break in between is because I think this is good for high school coaches, regardless of where they operate at, man. How do you get the gym full of all them college coaches, man? I know you have talent, right?
Yeah.
I think there's more to it than just that.
Relationships, and they trust my judgment. Mm. Like, I think we've developed a culture and identity. So when you recruit a kid from our program, if you look at college now, most of our guys are playing right away. They're starting as freshmen, starting as sophomores are playing. It's a few of them that aren't playing a ton. But even those couple that aren't playing a ton, their coach is not trying to get rid of them. There's a plan for them.
Right.
But I think just the trust and the judgment and the relationships I have with guys, like, you know, I've built over the years, you know, between assistant coaches and head coaches or assistants turn head. I mean, we have 2 guys coaching in college now that were on our staff.
Yeah.
You know, one's at UCLA, one's at High Point.
Wow.
So just the relationships and stuff like that. But yeah, our practices are insane. You think you're at like a live period. Like, yeah, our practices sometimes look like Peach Jam. Like just the amount of colleges in the gym recruiting. Yeah. It's insane. Special. Special. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. You were going to say something else about just the commitment, 4 or 5 more guys.
We have 4 or 5 guys that, maybe even more than that, that'll commit, I'm sure, soon to a spot. So that are still available. But yeah.
Dope. And then this last space, because I this is separate from the coaching and the team building, is the EHA circuit. And, you know, making a splash into the event space for independent teams. I'm sure the motivation was the Cali Stars and mm-hmm. what you've done. You know, what's the process in like in building that, and what's the projection of that, you know, moving forward?
So EHA stands for Elite Hoops Association. The reason why I decided to do it was obviously we've, you know, done a pretty good job on the independent side, and I think there's several other good independent programs. But our issue we have is, first, we're independent. So typically from top to bottom, we're not getting the best of the best. We may be top heavy or whatever. We may get, you know, 3 or 4 guys, and the rest of the guys are decent, you know, compared when you look at the bigger scale, right? When you compare it to like EYBL is the it, you know what I mean? Like they're getting high level dudes.
Yes.
Right. And then you have 3SSB, they get high level dudes. Under Armour's getting high level dudes. So you have those shoe circuits, right? And then you have 100 different independent events. Makes no sense for the independent teams, because now we're already watered down, right? Because we're not getting the best talent top to bottom. That's just the truth of it.
Yeah.
They're going to play shoe circuit. So now you have a spread out. How does that make sense? So each team, not even each team, you might have one tournament that has 10 Division I players. Then another tournament may have 3 Division I players. Then one tournament may have 2 Division I players. And now we're already watered down, and now we're spread out. Makes no sense. So I said, why don't we all come together and be in the same spot and make it easier for college coaches? College coaches now you're going against the portal, all this type. So you hear it, right? The Kobe year, this, that. They're already spread out.
Yeah.
It's hard for them. You get 3 days. Think a college coach is going to fly somewhere across the country for 4 hours to go watch one player and miss out. He could go sit at the EYBL and see 400 players. Doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. So now you can say, hey, they got 3 days. Hey, you know what? On this Friday, I'm going to spend, you know, my time at, you know, the EHA and go watch all the top independent guys. They're going to have 75 Division I players. And then I may spend Saturday, half a Sunday, right? And then the West Coast schools, they come back. So, hey, on the, I do EYBL Friday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. I may leave from the East Coast on Sunday morning. We're 3 hours ahead. I can get to Juvie's event, you know, by 11 a.m. and go watch the 100-plus whatever guys there. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, different stuff like that. You might get a guy, hey, we're going to go sit in at Nike here Friday. We're targeting this one guy at Julius's event, right, at EHA. I'm going to go sit in on his game, show face. We'll go, you know, two deep or whatever, then go fly back and finish up. You know what I mean? So now we're not spread out. So I partnered with John with Cali Rebels. And then we created the EHA. And then there were, like, Prince. He does Aces, but he does a good job on the events side as well. He joined with us and decided to build that platform. And I just start calling all the different independent teams. And what happened was I end up working for them just like I work for my guys, right? So I'm calling coaches. Hey, Cali Rebels got this dude. Hey, Team Inland got this dude. Players Play got this guy. You know, Arsenal got this dude, right? They're calling KP at Arsenal. He's helping our guys get recruited. Hey, you guys need a big A. Cali Stars got this guy. And now we're all working together instead of against each other or separate and spread out, because we already, we're not going to have more talent than the shoe circuits.
Yeah.
EYBO is the best of the best. Let's just call it what it is.
Makes
the
sense.
Truth. So if we can all come together, now we can have something close to some of these shoe circuits. I'm going to be real with you. Some of our events have had more coaches and maybe better players, you know, than some of these shoe circuits, you know, depending on the year and the spring, some whatever.
Right.
You know, so.
Not the number of independent players is right. I think it's in line with EYBL of how many players they actually get to college, Division I colleges every year.
I just thought, maybe we, you know, put this thing under one roof. Get everybody together, and we kind of just help each other and work for each other. And that's what we did. Again, back to relationships.
It's not because you were selfish and trying to make money, Julius. Like, you out here working, man.
You know?
So no, that's really what it was. It's so interesting, man, the, what people will come up with, right, without talking to somebody and understanding what the big picture is. And, man, your heart for kids and getting them to the next level is what it's about, man. That's what all of us should be about. I can't reiterate that enough, because regardless of how you do it for the right reason at the end of the day. I'm sure you've had opportunities to go make more money because of all these opportunities, for sure. And so I just want people to hear that and see what the real is, man. Man, we're going to go to the next segment of the show. My Rushmore, okay? So we're going to go Mount Rushmore, your top four, not in any particular order. We're going to talk about your top four most talented players ever. Probably talking about NBA players, unless you know somebody out of the NBA that has more talent that didn't make it. But top four talented players ever. Who you got?
This is not in order. You have to throw Tracy McGrady on there. Have to. Am I saying why each player?
Sure. Absolutely.
Tracy McGrady, size for position, like elite size for position, can play multiple positions, can guard multiple positions, elite shooting ability off the catch and bounce, elite athlete, elite measurements. I can go on all day.
Right.
You can play him out of ball screens. He can screen and pop. He can play out of ghosts, like, elite, put the ball in his hands, late shot clock. One of the best basketball players we ever seen.
Yeah.
Crazy thing, I was playing at a tournament in Houston, Marcus Sloan's event. I think the last time I asked somebody to take a picture, I was a kid, it was like David Beckham or something. That might have been the only other person. No, I'm wrong. I took a picture with Tracy McGrady at this event. the other person, other time I took a picture other than David Beckham was with Tracy McGrady when I was in high school or middle school, one of the two. Yeah, he was doing like an Adidas commercial. Yep. Tracy McGrady, Kobe Bryant, obviously. He does all those things I just mentioned with him, but he has something that most humans don't have, which is just like, I think I just seen my guy talking about this with the Warriors. He was just talking about Mamba mentality. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Bob was talking about that.
Bob Myers, yeah.
Mamba mentality is for Kobe. It doesn't exist in anyone else.
Mm.
Like, he said it. Like, you can be competitive, you can be focused, you can be locked in, you can be a hard worker. We've never seen nothing like that.
Right.
That's like strange. Yeah. You know what I mean? Elite, right? So he can do all those things. But Kobe Bryant, he's an elite defender. And he literally does anything you want him to do.
Yeah.
At any moment. Sprained ankle, hurt finger, he's going to, if you need 20 rebounds, he's going to go get 20 rebounds. But Kobe Bryant, Tracy McGrady.
Now it gets interesting.
Yeah. LeBron James. So here's the thing.
Yes.
LeBron James is, dang, should I say this? LeBron James is the best player to ever play basketball.
Yes. I'm in agreement with you.
And the reason why I say, should I say this, because I go back and forth with the Kobe thing. And the only reason why I can't say the Jordan thing, because I didn't grow up watching Jordan. You know what I mean? Like, I just know his legacy, and I can just kind of like analyze the games that I've watched, replay. Yeah. But LeBron James, obviously, like, his IQ, feel for the game, like, and people, and this is how you know he's ridiculous. Like, how old is he now?
A 39 today.
Like, people are judging him now. You're judging a 39-year-old playing in a league with 21-year-olds, huh? That's how good you know he is.
Yeah.
Because think about that. Jordan, and again, everybody's different, whatever, but Jordan came back. When did he come back? When he was with the Wizards and he made the All-Star game?
Yeah, 36.
Guys weren't judging Jordan.
Nah.
During that time he was playing, they were just like, dang, oh, he's scoring 20. Dang, yeah. dang. Like, it was more of like a farewell respect to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like, oh, that's Unk. LeBron is 39 or 38, whatever. You're not looking at him as Unk. You're looking at him as your competitor.
Yeah. 25-7-7 still. Like,
at the age of Unk.
And yeah,
you know what I mean? And that's not disrespect to Jordan. Jordan's one of the best.
But no, when he came back at that age, he was not, he's a shell of himself.
Yeah, it was different.
And LeBron is running faster and harder than you've seen him do his whole career.
So we got to go LeBron in there.
All right, so LeBron, who's your last? Most talented.
Yeah. Talented. It's so hard to say. Remember, we're saying talented.
Talented. Basketball talent.
And that's why it's kind of hard for me to throw fives in there. Right?
Yep.
But there is a five that we might have to throw in there, but.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So you can give a runner up. Who would be your five? How about that? Who would be the five?
That I'm talking about is Jokic.
Oh, whoa. That's interesting. I didn't even think. I was thinking Hakeem, but okay.
And this is why Hakeem, elite talent, and I'm not saying you have to be able to shoot threes.
But that
if you're, I'm not saying you have to be able to shoot threes to be considered talented, but adding a five man that can initiate offense and space the floor and think with the ball at the top of the key and like, that's the thing, right? I think the Hakeem and Jokic thing is kind of like the Jordan Kobe thing. Like, you have, I know I'm going off topic from before, but.
No, you good. We're talking about.
But Hakeem, right? Like, was like, you know, he was the foundation, mm-hmm. right? And then you have Jokic. He just took it to another level, right? Just the footwork, all the stuff, right? And. That's like the Jordan Kobe thing.
Yeah.
Like you had Jordan the foundation and then Kobe just
took it to another level.
Whoa. Yeah. But that fourth, you probably got to say Penny Hardaway. Mm. You got to say Penny. Grant Hill, maybe. I think you got to say Penny.
Penny could be.
The thing that makes it hard at that era, because, and I'm not a big analytic person. Damn, Steph.
You leaving people out. You feeling it now. Yeah.
I'm not a big analytic guy, so I don't know what the percentages were of Penny shooting and all that threes, but I know he got game.
No, because we're talking about when you say talent, I'm thinking raw.
Yeah, just pull up to the gym.
Ability.
Yeah, come to the gym and hoop.
Yep.
Penny, Steph.
Because my four is going to be way, it's going to be the same but different. It's going to be interesting because the way you see raw talent, if we're talking raw talent, but you can't argue with the people you're saying.
Yeah, because I think that fourth. You can go Allen Iverson.
Oh, come on. You're going to take away people? I might want those. You got your four. Nope.
Yeah. But yeah.
He might need two mountains over here. Two Mount Rushmore. So
who you got?
My four. Most talented. I have T-Mac. So I agree with T-Mac. If he did not get injured, we were talking about him and Kobe until he hit the back injuries. So he forgets somebody else. So T-Mac.
I hope you name him.
Okay. Number two for me is Kyrie Irving. We are talking raw talent. I don't think there's anybody.
Yo, I got to say something right quick.
Go ahead.
I was trained this when Jordan Hamilton was on the Clippers. I've never seen a human do something like this to other NBA players. Like, so I'm training Jordan Hamilton on the Clippers. We always used to get there an hour early because they would do open gym. This dude, Kyrie, came in. I don't even know if he stretched. He for sure tied his shoes.
And then he levitated. And then,
bro, this dude literally was making NBA players look like little kids. And the players that were on that court with him, there was NBA All-Stars on the court. And this was like I said, Jordan Hamilton was with the Clippers. This was a while ago. He made them look like little kids. And I saw it. Like in person, where I'm right there, and I can't believe I forgot to name him. But yeah, no, he is ridiculous, bro.
Raw talent.
That's unbelievable, the stuff he does.
Yeah, no, he's most skilled and raw talent. So then I got actually Jamal Crawford, the person who has never done real skills training. He's just hooped. Are you talking about this raw talent, the things he does? He's made up literally moves. He's made up moves. You cannot guard this man. Yeah. So I'm talking like just if that man was born a hooper, he was born a hooper. So Jamal Crawford. And my last one is LeBron. Whole package, man. See the floor, could fly, IQ, and just like talent. I don't look at LeBron today. I go look at high school LeBron for that. In high school, like, he was, like, how do you do some of the stuff you're doing on the court? And
as a teenager.
As a 17-year-old, 16, 17-year-old is wild. And he's still doing it. There's a clip of him. They just played the Knicks. And there was a tip ball situation. And he's like, he recognizes Jalen Brunson standing next to him. He moves, what's his name, AK or AR-15. Hey, come on this side of him. Goes over, standing next to Josh Harrelson. Because he knows he's going to beat him in a foot race to go get a dunk right off the tip from AD. Planned it all. Like in 5 seconds. Like just little stuff like that, man. Natural ability for basketball. So those are my four, man.
I'm going to tell you, we're both disrespectful.
Well, we can name some runner-ups.
No. We're both disrespectful. Imagine. I can't believe we forgot this person. Kevin Durant.
Ooh. We are
7 foot.
Dang.
Handle, jumper, hezzy pull-ups, to the rim, second level pull-ups.
Most disrespectful Mount Rushmore day ever. KD.
That's my fourth.
Who you replacing?
That fourth that was like kind of hanging.
Okay.
Like I said, it's LeBron, Kobe, T-Mac, KD. KD.
Dang. So I would replace raw talent. Yeah, I'm placing Jamal Crawford with KD then. You're right. Steph is an interesting one because I don't know if Steph had raw talent. I believe he's worked for everything he's gotten. And that's why it took him so late to
boom. That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Like, he had to adjust his shot in high school.
Yeah.
He got his handles, like, his first couple years in the league, and he's created himself. So
he's definitely, if you could say, the four biggest overachievers.
Oh, man.
Him and Allen Iverson, you can put those two for sure.
It all comes to mindset. Like you said, nobody got the Mamba mentality, but those dudes mentally are in a different space than half the playing. We were talking about it earlier. NBA superstars are some of the most intelligent, high IQ people in the world to do what they do. And people don't understand. They think they're just like, oh, they're just athletes.
Yeah,
LeBron is brilliant. Like, these dudes are mentally on a different level. Yeah. So this is where we flip the script. You become the interviewer. This is the Elevate Your Game with Julius V show. I'm your guest. Two questions for me. Anything in the world.
Damn. Two questions. Oh, what's your plans the next 10 years? Like, I never saw the podcast coming. Mm-hmm. I've seen, obviously, you did the training, all of that stuff, the core, coaching in high school. I didn't plan for the podcast. Yeah. What's next in the next 10 years?
So I didn't plan for the podcast like this either. It just happened and it popped off. And I love organic stuff. Core was organic. You know, Johnny wanted to do homeschool and train. I created the program, right? Most of those kids were playing with you at that time, too. So, I don't even, like, that connection was there. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when I started this game, you were, like, doing it. And so, next 10 years, scaling core, whatever that means, we have such a unique business model that it's going to take some very unique situations to scale it. And so whatever that means, if it's, you know, more campuses, more opportunities, if it's growing where we're at and making it the most exceptional middle school program, like whatever we're doing to help kids. Me personally, a lot of consulting, like I love this space, man. I love highlighting other people. And you've been talking about it all day. It's like, I'm getting game. I'm getting game from everybody, from the, you know, open division state champion coach, prep school, like y'all running stuff in prep school. Like, I'm getting game. So using this information to help other people. And so consulting, whatever that looks like, if it's a prep school program, if it's a shoe company, if whatever it is, all the knowledge I have, being able to bless others with it to grow knowledge in this game. And with this media stuff, man, I'm really enjoying this. So I got some things in the work, more content. Ultimately, wanna do something big with this. I'm not gonna mention it yet because it's still you know, God's still giving it to me slow, and so I wanna make sure it's the right time to do it. But take this vehicle that we're using to highlight other people to the next level, essentially. And so, I wanna coach again. I mean, that might be coming soon. I wanna coach, and I think that's
like it. Head coach.
Oh yeah, like I wanna get back.
Really,
on the
might jump on
man.
The sideline. Huh?
I might jump on the sideline, man, and I'll probably start with some AAU, something light, and get my feet back out there. But I think it's the natural development of a player developer is to become a coach. If you're a player developing the right way, you're gonna want to coach eventually.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, want to coach, and that's kind of like my retirement. Like this business stuff, I'm gonna do this business stuff, and it's gonna pay for my life. But I want to retire like Harvey Keitany, man. You know what I mean? Like, go get me a nice little private school and still do what I love. You know what I mean? So, yep.
Starting five, ever point guard. You gotta have point guard, shooting guard, wing, four man, and five man.
So traditional positions.
Like, yeah, like when you say power forward, ooh. Think okay. Dirk, Chris Webber, KG.
You count Steph as a point guard?
Or you can play him at the point.
Okay.
I'll say my five after you.
Yes. Oh. My center. It's probably Jokic. It's probably Jokic at this point. Just like you said, man, his ability to make others around him better and still get triple-doubles is wild. And he's just smart. My four, man, I'm putting KD at my four. because his ability to play defense on multiple positions and be a rim protector, but also give me the offensive power. My three man, I'm putting Klay Thompson at my three because I need a shooter. And you talking about a starting five, I'm trying to win games. I'm not talking about the best ever.
Klay is my dog. That's
Klay, to me, is one of the best, like, shooting-wise and his defensive ability. And every little thing he does, like, that man is a complete basketball player. And people, oh, he's just a shooter.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
If you watch hoop, you would know, Klay. I'm putting Steph at my two. I'm putting Bron at my one. I know I'm crazy for leaving Kobe and Jordan out, but I'm not.
Yeah, we're just talking about winning a game. You're talking about floor spacing. It makes sense.
I believe that Kobe and Jordan are so special because they had to carry people to what they had to win. No disrespect to Pippen. They always had Shaq, Pau Gasol. Yeah. They had dudes, but the rest of their supporting cast was, you know, the greatest supporting cast, but they had to carry that load like they did because of the people. LeBron had to do it too at a point. But I believe LeBron's ability to, you know, pass and see the game.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm going Bron at the one, Kobe at the two, Kevin Garnett at the four, Shaq at the five. And the three will probably be Kevin Durant.
Who's at the four?
Kevin Garnett.
Garnett, OKG. Ooh, yeah, that changes it up.
We're getting deflections, old boards. We're switching 1 through 5.
Not with Shaq.
Shit. Oops, sorry.
That's the only thing. Shaq messes up my space and pace. I'm a space and pace dude. Shaq, now, no disrespect to who he is. He is the most dominant player to ever play the game. Talking about dominant.
We might not be able to switch with you because I was going to be heavy, pack the paint because with our length. No, but then you guys got floor spacing. If we switch and Shaq's ISOing Klay and Steph, yeah, maybe Shaq.
I'm pacing space, so I need people who can do a little bit of everything and operate. That's how I like to run it. But man, it's been a pleasure, my brother. You got a 24-second shot clock. That's your camera right there. Let the people know where they can find you. You could either give an encouraging word or, you know, anything you want to say, man, to the people.
Man, where you can find me? You can find me in your local gym. I'm in everybody's gym. Encouraging word. Just like I said, have a good spirit and be a good person. Yeah. And then you'll be all right in this space.
Love it, man. My brother. Appreciate you being on the show, my brother. All right, y'all. We'll see y'all next time. Peace.